And here, this is a point of benefit that I would like to comment on concerning monotheism. You often hear that Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are the three religions of monotheism. But in reality, the only true religion of monotheism, of pure monotheism, is Islam. Why? Because what is understood to be monotheism by most of these Christians and Jews is that there is only one sovereign God, but they associate partners with him in reality. So let's not be therefore deceived by such a statement, which you often hear also by some Muslims, that these are the religions of monotheism. In their original state, the people who followed Moses on the truth and those who followed Jesus on the truth were on monotheism and pure monotheism. But following the alterations and modifications of their creeds and the rejection to submit and worship Allah through the final message of the Quran and reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is no more except an abrogated creeds. To some Muslims, we continue now the discussion, to some Muslims, they say that the meaning of ilah, you know, the true meaning of ilah, meaning is the one who is worshipped out of love and magnification. This is the true meaning of ilah. But to some Muslims who are influenced by scholastic theology and philosophy and the like, they say that the meaning of ilah, of God, is the one who is able to make, to create. So the meaning of la ilaha illallah to these people, the meaning of la ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, quote unquote, this means to them is there is no one who is able to make and create except Allah. This is the meaning of la ilaha illallah to them. And tawheed, what is tawheed to them? Tawheed is to say that Allah is one in essence without a partner. Look at this. Tawheed to them is to say that Allah is one in essence without a sharer or partner, and that he is one in his actions. He has no sharer in actions, and that he is one in his attributes, whereas there is no similar to him. This is incorrect. Had this meaning been the true meaning, then the pagans of Quraysh wouldn't have contested and rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message, and they would have believed in him. Why? Because Quraysh used to say, the Arabs, the pagan Arabs, used to say, لا خالق إلا الله, there is no creator but Allah. And you know what? This term خالق, creator, is even more profound than the scholastic theology's wording when they say there is no one able. because the one able could do and may not do. However, the Khaliq, the Creator, did create and manifested his creation by an ability from him. So the understanding of the mushriks is better, look at this, is better than the understanding of these scholastic theologians who belong to Islam. The Tawheed that the messengers brought is signified in the saying of Allah in many chapters in the Quran, but suffice is the following verse: مَا لَكُم مِّن إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ, meaning you have no other God worthy of worship except Him, Allah. This is the Tawheed of the messengers. This is the true understanding of Tawheed. This is just an example. Indeed, we sent Noah to his people and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other ilah but him. لا إله إلا هو. ما لكم من إله غيره. And it is regrettable that many of those who write about Tawheed, when they mention Tawheed, they don't really mention more than they don't really mention or affirm rather except or no more than the Tawheed of Lordship, meaning that Allah is the creator, sustainer, provider, the one who runs the affairs only. That's what they only affirm. And this is really a grave defect and a great error. And we should implant in the hearts of the Muslims the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of divinity, more than the Tawheed of Lordship. The Tawheed of divinity meaning that only Allah deserves to be worshipped alone. Because the Tawheed of Lordship, no one really denied it. So, for us to come and affirm this naturally occurring belief in Lordship and keep silent on the aspect of divinity, this is a grave defect. Because worshipping other than Allah, is the thing which is heavily under the control of desire. Desire motivating the person to lead him to worship other than Allah, worshipping the righteous and worshipping his own desire as well, even to the degree that the Prophet ﷺ considered the one whose main concern is a dirham and a dinar, the gold and silver coins, currency meaning, and the like, he considered him as worshipper of them in the authentic hadith, where he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'isa abdu al-dinar, ta'isa abdu al-dirham, ta'isa abdu al-khamila, ta'isa abdu al-khamisa. Let the slave of dinar and dirham, dinar and dirham, money and luxurious clothes, perish as he is pleased if these things are given to him, to the end of the hadith. So he considered him a slave when his main concern was the money and wealth. And also concerning the lowly desires, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse 23. Forty-five, 23, please. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ Have you seen him who takes his own lust, vain desires as his ilah, as his God? So, the sins, in general, or in type, is okay to be considered from the shirk, from the general meaning of sin. It may be considered from shirk. However, with the particular meaning, with the more particular meaning, it is divided into four types. First type, shirkun akbar, major shirk. Second, shirkun asghar, minor shirk. Third, major sin. Fourth, minor sin. Some of these sins may be related to the right of Allah, and some of these sins may be related to man himself, and some may be related to the rights of the creatures. And manifesting therefore the meaning of La ilaha illallah is of utmost difficulty. And that's why some of the Salaf said, كُلُّ مَعْصِيَةٍ فَهِيَ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ الشِّرْكِ Every sin is a type of shirk. And some of them said, I didn't find something more difficult to make myself strive upon more than sincerity. This is only known to the believer. As to the non-believer, he doesn't work to strive himself on sincerity. That's why, listen to this, that's why it was said to Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, إِنَّ الْيَهُودِ the Jews say, نَحْنُ لَا نُوَسْوِسُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ We don't whisper in salah, meaning listen to whispering in salah. He responded by saying, فَمَا يَصْنَعُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِقَلْبٍ خَرِبٍ What would the devil do with a ruined heart? So the devil does not come to ruin that which is already ruined. However, the devil comes to ruin that which is established. And that's why when it was complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person finds in himself something so great, some thoughts that are so great, that he would find it very, very difficult to speak about, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَجَدْتُمْ ذَلِكْ Did you find this in yourselves? They said yes. He said, ذَاكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ This is really plain faith and pure faith or clear faith. Meaning that this is the clear sign that your faith is clear. Why? Because such thoughts came upon you, and such thoughts don't come except on the pure and correct heart. We're still talking now about the testimony. al-shahada. The testimony is defined as when we say to testify that there is no true God worthy except Allah. The testimony is attestation by the tongue and conviction in the heart and manifestation on the limbs. This is the testimony of Tawheed concerning La ilaha illallah. And that's why when the hypocrites said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Surah Al-Munafiqun verse 1, نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ, chapter 63 verse 1, chapter 63 verse 1, Surah Al-Munafiqun, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad, they say, we bear witness, we testify that you are indeed the Messenger of Allah. And this statement of them is asserted by three types of assertion in the Arabic language. By the term نَشْهَدُ, testify, إِنَّكَ إِن, واللام and the lam, إنك له رسول الله. Allah belied them by saying والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون. Look at this, they said, we bear witness that you are indeed a messenger. Allah knows that you are indeed his messenger, and Allah bear witness that the hypocrites are liars indeed. So, this testimony on their tongues did not benefit them because it's empty from the conviction in the heart. And similarly, from acting upon by the limbs, so it was of no avail. So the testimony cannot be true except with the conviction in the heart and the attestation of the tongue and manifestation with actions. So testimony in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, La ilaha illallah, we know what it means now, that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. So these idols which are worshipped beside Allah, they don't deserve to be worshipped because they don't possess any of the qualities of Godship or divinity. Then he said in the hadith, وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, that you testify that there is no true God worthy of worship alone, without a partner. This is affirmation to negate everything that is particular to Allah in lordship and divinity and names and attributes. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and others from the believers, they used to resort to Allah at times of difficulty. A Bedouin came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, and he was with his companions, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his sword on a tree. So the Bedouin pulled the sword off, grabbed it, and said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he took the sword of the Prophet by his hand, he pulled it off from the tree, he pulled it off the tree, and he said to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي, who will protect you from me if I were to kill you now? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, يَمْنَعُنِي اللَّهُ, Allah is the one who will protect me. He didn't say my companions who were next to him. This is the manifestation of the Tawheed of Lordship, because Allah is the one who possesses the benefit and the creation and the harm and the running of the affairs and the running of the affairs of the kingdom, all of that in his hands. There is nothing in that which is particular to him in lordship or divinity or names and attributes. There is no partner, no co-equal, no one to share any of these particular things in which we single him alone in all of them, in lordship, divinity and names and attributes. You heard the Shaykh in his comment now saying, in that which is particular to Allah. Listen to this important condition. There is no one to share anything of Allah's lordship, divinity or names and attributes in that which is particular to him. Why we added this condition, being particular to him? So that we will be safe from many doubts, especially the doubts of those who negate the attributes of Allah. Especially the ones who negate the attributes of Allah. Because those who negate the attributes of Allah, they claim that, look at this, they claim that affirming the attributes is committing shirk. Because they say affirming the attributes of Allah necessitates resemblance. However, we say the word particular, meaning we say there is no one who shares anything which is particular to Allah. Why? Because to Allah belongs attributes which are particular to him, and to the creatures belongs attributes which are particular to them. You see the point, inshallah, the benefit behind adding this condition, particular to Allah. Okay, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Then let's go to the hadith now, sister Umm Ahmad, barakallahu feekum. The second statement: if anyone now testifies that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluh, and that Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluh. So the hadith of Ubadah now. Now the Prophet said, if anyone testifies that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, okay, who has no partner, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. It's better to use in the translation messenger, but let's go now on the discussion of Muhammad is his slave and messenger. Muhammad, who is Muhammad? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, Al-Qurashi, Al-Hashimi, the final prophet and the last messenger. Abduhu is Allah's slave. This term abduhu, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave, this tells that he is not a partner with Allah. Then his messenger, meaning he is sent to deliver that which was revealed to him. So he is not making lies on Allah. The messenger is a slave. All the qualities, all the human qualities ascribed to him except one. All the human qualities ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except one, and that which refers to the lowest of character, or despicable characters. This, he is infallible regarding this. He is infallible regarding this matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding him, regarding his human nature. Chapter 7, verse 188. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, I possess no power of benefit or hurt to myself except as Allah wills. If I had the knowledge of the unseen, I should have secured for myself an abundance of wealth, and no evil should have touched me. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings unto people who believe. Also in 72:21-22, again about his qualities, look, listen and contemplate please. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Say, it is not my power to cause you harm or to bring you to the right path. None can protect me from Allah's punishment if I were to disobey him, nor should I find refuge except in him. So he is a human like us. However, he is inspired, receiving revelation. This is affirmed by the words of Allah in 41, verse 6. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Look at this great verse. It comprises the human nature of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his prophethood and messengership as well. Say, O Muhammad, I am only a human being like you. It is inspired in me that your ilah, God, is one God. Therefore, take straight path to him and obedience to him and seek forgiveness of him, and woe to the mushriks. And anyone who says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no shade, anyone who says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no shade, or that his light extinguishes his shade if he walks in the sun, this is all lies on top of lies, false. And that's why Aisha, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, said, كنت أمد رجلي بين يدي. I used to extend my foot between his hands. And she used to offer apology by saying that the houses, there were no, you know, masabih, no, it's a twigs, or what is the masbah, in the houses, or these little, the masbah, the little thing which hangs with light, and it has a twig in it, no, the old ones. I lost the word. Yeah, the oil lamps like that, yes. So she used to offer, apology. So because therefore, had the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, had he this type of light that they talk about, then she wouldn't have lanterns. Is that right? Could be. Then she wouldn't have to offer such an apology. However, this is exaggeration. This is the exaggeration which corrupts the deen and the life as well. We seek refuge in Allah from that. The lanterns. I'll get this word inshallah in a second. And from the exaggeration in deen is the saying of this poet by the name of Al-Busiri in his poet which is called Al-Burda, which is very famous. Yeah, I think the best translation would be the oil lamp. Okay, yes, Al-Busiri in his, I should say infamous actually, poet which is Al-Burda, which is available on many sites, and which some of these called Muslim singers or people of Nasheed, they often resonated on their sites. It's filled with exaggeration concerning the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In it, it says, I will translate some of the poets or poet lines in it. It says, Ya Akram al-Khalq, O most honorable of creation, why I shouldn't take refuge in, there is no one rather to take refuge in except you at the time when the great catastrophe takes place. It is from your generosity is this life and the hereafter, and from your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the knowledge of the pen. You hear that? You hear this exaggeration in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? That's why Imam Ibn Rajab commented, and others even commented on these statements by saying he didn't leave anything to Allah as long as this life and the hereafter is from the generosity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he knows the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen, what the pen wrote. This is the exaggeration in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam warned against this when he said, do not exaggerate in me as the Christians exaggerated in Jesus, peace be upon him. And you know, in the exaggeration of the Christians in Jesus, they ended up worshipping him. And we bear witness, the Sheikh added now, that anyone who says this, meaning the statement that you heard in this poet, then in reality he did not bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and that he is a slave of Allah, but rather he is testifying that Muhammad is above Allah. It's just amazing how the exaggeration can lead them to this. And this exaggeration even exceeds the exaggeration of the Christians who said that Jesus is the son of Allah and who said that he is one of three. These people in such statements that you have heard some of now said even beyond that. They even, when they refer to the following hadith, which is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah says, "Man ذكرني في ملأٍ," anyone who mentions me, you know, amongst some, if he remembers me, you know, amongst the people, I will remember him in a mala' khayr minh, in a mala'in, or fi mala'in khayrun minh, amongst those who are better. And I am with my slave if he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I will remember him in myself. So they say here that the messenger is with us if we remember him. And that's why these people of exaggeration, they resort to certain things in their celebrations of the night, during the night of the birthday of the Prophet, when they celebrate his birthday. When some of them, during these circles, when they gather in such circles to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course this is an innovation anyway, but to tell you what goes on there, one of them would say, for example, the name of the Prophet during this circle. They will stand all at once like one man, and they will say, because the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in himself to attend this mawlid, this celebration, so they stand all together in respect. Yet we know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the ones who had the strongest respect, better than us and better than these people who exaggerate. Yet when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would enter their circles while he was alive, speaking and talking to them, no one would stand up to him. And these people who celebrate these innovative celebrations stand up when they imagine that the Prophet ﷺ is coming after his death to share in their innovative celebrations. They don't see him, they imagine him, or they imagine a ghost. Just contemplate how their brains went, to what degree their brains went. So if we look at them through the eye of the pre-decree, then we will feel compassionate to them, and we will ask Allah to have his safety upon them and to protect them. But if we look at them through the eye of the legal legislation, then in that sense we should reject what they are upon and prove its incorrectness so that they return to the straight path. Here is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the strongest of mankind in his worship and slavery to Allah. and most fearful of Allah and most pious used to pray and stand praying until his feet swallow. And when he was told regarding this, he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, shouldn't I be a slave, a thankful slave? Yet Allah forgave him his past and latter sins and future ones. All what he is doing is to manifest the true worship to Allah. Now, this is the meaning of Abdullah, the slave of Allah. As to his message, he is the Rasul, the messenger. Allah sent him with the greatest Sharia, greatest law, to all mankind, to all creation. And he proclaimed it, the best proclamation. Although he was hurt and he was fought to the degree that they used to bring the fetus of a she camel while he is prostrating by the Kaaba and put it on his back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of their hate of him and of what he brought. Yet he was persevering. He used to throw and dump all kind of waste and dirty things and filthy things on the footsteps of his door. Yet all of this was a test for this honorable prophet from Allah to make manifest his perseverance and his superiority. Doing all this to him, and he would come out and say, أَيُّ جِوَارٍ هَذَا يَا بَنِي عَبْدَ مَنَافٍ, what kind of neighborhood is this, O people of Abd Manaf, who used to do this to him? He persevered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him victorious and prevailed. And after him, the most distrusted of mankind after him carried on the same message, those the companions. May Allah be pleased with them all. And they delivered it to the Ummah, pure. And all praise is due to Allah. We love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love him in Allah, and we love him for Allah. The love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the love of Allah. And we give him precedence over ourselves and our families and our children and all mankind. And we love him because he is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we manifest the testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah by having conviction of this in our hearts and attesting to it on our tongues, and apply that by following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our limbs, and we work accordingly according to his guidance, and we don't work for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what may nullify this testimony of faith is, as to me, what may diminish rather this testimony of faith is, first, disobedient acts. It diminishes the manifestation of this testimony because the person will be departing from following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we are testifying that Muhammad Rasulullah, it means following him. Secondly, innovations in the deen introducing that which is not part of it. Because in this case you may be trying to draw nearer to Allah in that which Allah did not legislate, neither His Messenger legislated. And if you think it carefully, the innovation in deen in reality is from mocking Allah, mocking at Allah, because you are drawing near to Him in things which He did not legislate. Now if someone says, I intend to draw nearer and close to Allah with this action which I am innovating, we tell him, you missed the road. You may be excused or forgiven for your intention, but you may be not for not following the true path when you knew the truth. As to the innovators, it may be said that they may be rewarded for their good intention if they did not know the truth. However, we still hold them blameworthy in that which they want to, even with their good intention. As to their leaders, who knew the truth yet rejected it in order to maintain their status and rank, then there is resemblance to Abu Jahl in them, and to Utba bin Rabi'ah, and to Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira, and the like, who opposed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by rejecting his message in order to keep their prestige and their rank. And as to the followers of those who follow those innovators, then they are of two types. The first type, those who are ignorant concerning the truth, and therefore they didn't know of it, nothing. And they did not lax concerning searching for the truth, thinking that what they are upon is the truth, then these are excused. The second party, those who knew the truth, however they rejected that because of their bigoted imitation of their leaders in innovation, these are not excused, and they are similar to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43:22, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They have resemblance to those who wanted to find an excuse in blind following. Nay, they say, we found our fathers following a certain way and religion, and we guide ourselves by their footsteps. They are not excused. Now, let's take the next statement from the hadith of Ubadah. The first beginning is the testimony of faith, and that Muhammad is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now Jesus, wa anna Isa abdullah wa rasuluh. Okay, this is the beginning. If anyone testifies that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, who has no partners, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, and that Jesus is Allah's slave and his messenger, this will be explained inshallah after we take a break. We'll put the Noble Quran now, inshallah ta'ala. We'll take a break and come back, inshallah, shortly.